It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
Maybe you got something good you'd like to share. I would love to hear it. I'm sure, even though it's late, it's 106 in St. Louis, 206 on the East Coast. There are so many stories worth sharing out there that are positive that may bring someone else's day up to a different level. Don't hold it in. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. A couple of different ways you can reach the show that way. Okay, I got a couple of good stories. In fact, this is kind of a weird one, but it's out of Pennsylvania. CBS Baltimore is reporting this. It says, meet Wally, a 4.5-foot-long emotional support alligator with razor-sharp teeth who likes to make new friends. What? That's a weird thing. How would you like to go to a nursing home and you find out that the main attraction is an alligator that day and your parent, whoever may be living there, is getting up close and personal in front of the mouth of an alligator. Now, not like they're sticking their head in this alligator's mouth, head or whatever, you know. It's not like they're doing these tricks that you see down in Florida when you go to Gator World. So I'm sure that there are some, you know, calculated risks that a 4.5-foot alligator, it's not enough to, you know, kill you. But if they did decide to get you, it wouldn't be pleasant. And at that age, you never know. So what happens? I'm watching this thing, and I'm watching how they talk about this thing. Recently, Wally was put on a leash and walked around this community center in Sprinkle Drive, an assisted living development, and people are saying, I'm not scared of snakes, so why would I be afraid of an alligator? And they get in, and they bring the people that live at this assisted living center in Pennsylvania around, and they treat it like a dog. They treat this alligator like a dog. Said, oh, he wants to be petted. Oh, man, this alligator, it's all it wants is love. What?
He loves people. There's a lot of people around. Nobody's touching him. He gets antsy. Right? Because he's become my personal. He's my favorite. And him and I, we just got to fall. You know, if I listen, he won't play.
Okay, so he says he loves people. He loves to be pet. Oh, man, I'm not trusting that. If anyone wants to know, he lives in a 300-gallon pond, likes to watch TV, and eats frozen rats and chicken. Doesn't that sound like a great profile, a dating profile? Oh, what's your ideal date? Well, lives in a 300-gallon pond and eats frozen rats. Oh, I'd love that. That's what I'm looking for. You have something good you'd like to share? I thought that was somewhat good. It was more entertaining than it was good. Oh, how about this one? This is a good one. This is from Fox 2 here in St. Louis. They were talking about how there's a new community outreach center that's opening up in North St. Louis that'll provide job training. Urban League, a Metropolitan St. Louis, and Better Family Life partnering together for this one. I thought this was great. Here's their reporting from Fox 2.
A historic handshake for a historic move to better a crime-ridden area of North St. Louis.
But we also are now looking at this Hayden's rectangle.
The Urban League of Metropolitan St. Louis joining hands with Better Family Life to open the Save Our Sons Better Family Life Outreach Center in North St. Louis.
Okay, now hear the name, Save Our Sons. That's a big mission of Better Family Life. It has the word family right in the title. If you missed it earlier, and we'll play it next hour again, one of the big keys to the word family is family. Okay, I think you figure that out. It's one for one word association. But Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I decided to read one of his speeches from 1955, Birmingham, Alabama, and it talks about family, which we're going to... About an hour from now, you'll be able to hear that. But the big part of that is making sure that family structure is there. Better Family Life talks about how, if you have a father in the picture, how much or how important that is to the development of a kid. So it makes all the difference in the world that they're opening up organizations like this. They focus on, yep, that word and the development of the kids and the young boys there that may have other options on the table that are much more destructive.
Located on 1330 Aubert in the shops at Roberts Village.
Just as E.D. Nixon, a reverend from the South, selected Martin Luther King because he had a certain oratory, you know, kind of presence about himself and could speak, this is the same type of model. We know that Better Family Life is boots on the ground, and we know that Urban League has been number one for job placement. So you marry those two components together, then you have an amazing program.
This major collaboration addresses St. Louis Police Chief John Hayden's anti-crime initiative to help curtail crime in what's become known as Hayden's Rectangle. They hope this is a resource that will save individuals out of poverty and away from the allure of crime. It'll provide resources like suits to look sharp for interviews, as well as secondary education and skills needed to become a successful employee.
All right, so this is part of the reporting from Fox 2, but man, aren't they right. If you have some equity you're building into yourself through a job, sometimes it's that very first step that's difficult. Oh, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do a resume. I don't have a suit. I don't have the ability. I don't have the resources. I don't have the contacts. There's so many different barriers that could deter someone from taking that step to try to better themselves. And when you talk about some of these dangerous areas in St. Louis, you're talking about areas where there's shootings and stabbings and killings and prostitution and drugs. And there's so many different options on the table for the people that live there and the young people. To put something good on the table, an option for them, and someone that actually wants to help them, that's how you change communities. Good for them to do this, really, seriously.
The troubled rectangle, that really shows a direct correlation to not having jobs or resources or education.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has a direct connection to violent crimes. So as we try to curtail the gun violence that's happening around from Vandeventer to Goodfellow, we're trying to basically replace that with some good skills, some tangible resources, like I said before, and basically the good American dream of bringing everybody together, because it's a we the people model, and we're going to show the neighborhood over here that we could do the same thing that we did in Ferguson.
We the people model. Let's turn it around. Give them options. That's the way you do it. I got to applaud. What a great community outreach center they're putting together. The people over at Better Family Life, great organization. Do you have something good you'd like to share? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'd love to hear it. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, yes. From border to border, all over the place. How about that? I haven't heard from David in a while, all the way down in Georgia. David, how are you?
Doing pretty well. It's a little nippy down here, not nearly as nippy as up there.
What's the temperature?
About freezing.
All right, so you're, let's see. I'm going to look up the weather right now. So according to Google, it's 32 degrees. You're exactly right. You can feel it in your bones.
Yeah, the weather moved in Sunday, and it was tending toward about 16 miles an hour for quite a number of hours. So that was quite unpleasant going to and from church.
I bet. So what's your good thing? You got something good going on?
Yeah, I was kind of pondering it for a while, but I went over to my county animal shelter that's been privatized, it and the neighboring county, a not-for-profit charity has taken over and improved things incredibly. They went from an over 50% kill rate to 7%.
Wow.
Ironically enough, they're a little short on cats right now. They've got some, but, you know, they anticipate the onslaught of spring kittens and such.
Yeah, normally it's an abundance of cats. Normally you can't give a cat away at a shelter. There's so many of them.
Yeah, they're pretty much in that situation with large dogs. Anything over about 20 or 30 pounds, because the apartments won't let you do 20 pounds or better.
I see.
All the dogs I looked at had been there since at least September.
I see. Okay.
But they were just great. They're all some version of pit mixes with all sorts of colors and, ranging from 35, 40 pounds to about 65. And everybody who came in to greet me just nailed me with their nose immediately.
So you're going to be adopting a pup.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get, you know, a relative adult. All these dogs are between 1 and 4 years of age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've got some background on. They do have some notes on what their behavior's like, because some of them are picky about what dogs they'll associate with. So I have to bring out my current dog to have a little meet and greet with all these guys individually and see who gets along with who. And, you know, they also have notes on what their play style is and how they get along with, you know, some of these other things. And the cats, took a look at those, and one just staggering cats, part Siamese, blue eyes, climbed out of the cage, all over my shoulders, purring, all that. Mm-hmm. What happens? Turns out, boss cat.
Boss?
Doesn't tolerate other cats, doesn't tolerate other dogs. The one person cat, so couldn't take that guy home, but I tell you, he's going to be a great companion for somebody who doesn't have any other animals.
Wait,
to deal with.
So you were ready to adopt a dog and a cat at the same time?
Well, I wasn't going to transport the dog that day, but I could have moved the cat.
Oh, I see.
So they're next, a little smaller.
I get it. So your next step is you're going to bring your dog up and to socialize with another dog you may like and kind of go from there.
Right. Right. There are about a half a dozen I've dealt with. And, you know, like they say, you match the pet to the owner. And in this case, you match the pet to the owner and the owner's pet.
Yeah.
So that will be our little get-together. Uh-huh. I'm reading for one of the black and whites there. But, you know, any of these guys is going to be good. And they're just, they're just TLC all over the place.
I bet. You know, and you also mentioned you go for a little bit older. When we adopted, I adopted my dog before I was married. I was dating, of course, but this was, I think, even before we were, we were already engaged. So this is before we were married. And I just knew I wanted this dog, and I definitely wanted to try to adopt a dog I thought would have no chance. And they tell you that once the dog gets older, they just get overlooked because of their age. This one dog was at the shelter. It was a no-kill shelter for 2 years, and they thought this dog will never get adopted. Too intimidating. So when I adopted him, he was 4 years old, and he was kind of on the older scale. But, you know, you can get 5, 6, 7-year-old dogs in there that were given up or whatever it is, and people don't give them a chance. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, one of the other places I dropped in on, they had one dog that I'd met before, and he's about 3 or 4 years old, about 35-pound pit mix, and he was going home the next day, and they had him for 15 months.
It's a long time.
Yeah, but, a good dog's a good dog, and
virtually
all dogs are good dogs.
Good dog's a good dog. Can you tell a good dog? Do you have a pretty good sense about that?
Well, usually the dogs I encounter, what people mistake for aggression is actually fear.
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand that, you have to have, I just say with children and pets, you just got to take an infinite amount of patience and, you know, win their trust. And virtually all those guys are going to come around.
Mm-hmm.
But they're afraid because people have not behaved well with them in the past.
Yeah.
And you've got to prove that, I'm not that jerk. You can be with me, and if it's my dog, I've had him now for 6, 7 years. If I just frown at him, he'll run away.
Aww. You know, I've seen the videos too of people. Did you see that one viral video online where it was a guy that came back from a long hospital stay, dropped a bunch of weight, and they introduced him back to his dog, the person that was watching his dog while he was in the hospital. Dog didn't recognize him at first, but he acted that way. A lot of fear, and it wasn't aggression, but it looked like it if you didn't know better. And it only took maybe 15 seconds for the dog to realize who that was, and completely everything changed right there. And he just completely melted and couldn't believe he was back with his owner. So, yeah.
He probably got a good sniff of the guy and figured that out. But, yeah, my guy, I frown at him and he'll run away and he's back in 10 seconds.
Yeah. Okay.
They're very forgiving animals of humanity. It's you should have a T-shirt. I'm trying to be as good a person as my dog thinks I am.
Do you try to rename a dog after the adoption, or you just keep the same name?
Well, this is actually the first time I would have a formal adoption, so I couldn't really tell you. Because the last guy I had wound up in my front yard. So he didn't have a name, he didn't have tags, he didn't have anything. The dog fighters had thrown him away. And they were just throwing him away so that animal control would pick him up and euthanize him.
Yeah.
And he was just, a sweet little guy. And, it's just a joy. He's 60 pounds, just took him into the vet.
Yeah.
Handed over the money for all the annual what's-its. But it's not really that expensive. I mean, you got to make a budget consideration. But even for a big dog, it's not that expensive to keep him around. And he just has a blast.
There you go. Well, thanks for calling in. That is a good thing, David. Good luck with that process and all. Keep us updated.
All righty.
All right, bye. Well, that's nice. Going to go adopt a dog. That's the thing. My kid, we talked about how we got our dog to our kid. And I'm like, okay, people treated him really terribly. You know, he was abused. And, you know, then the shelter took him in and we adopted him from a shelter. And my kid keeps saying he wants to go visit a dog shelter. And I said, we can't do that because, you know, we'll adopt a dog. It's impossible to walk into a shelter and not walk out wanting to take a dog back home with you. I mean, it's just impossible. So my kid doesn't quite understand that. Well, he now has started playing a game called Puppy Adopt, where he lines up some of his plush puppies. He's got a little Clifford red puppy dog, you know, a little plush toy or whatever it is. He's got this one big black dog that he named after my parents' dog because my parents also have a dog that looks the same. And he's got this other little dog that his aunt gave him for Christmas. And he'll line the three up, and he'll put himself as the fourth dog. He'll pretend, and he like fights for our attention as if he wants to be the one that gets adopted, not Clifford or whatever it is. And, you know, he'll show off the tricks he can do. It's a fun little game. And that is his precursor to try to get me to give him an opportunity to go to the shelter because he wants to see it for himself. You know, he's a method actor after all. He wants to be able to know better on how to act for this game, so we might as well take him to the shelter. It's a dangerous thing taking a kid to a dog shelter. And, you know, there was a time when I actually looked at adopting a second dog. This is before our son was born, but I thought, well, maybe we could. It would be nice maybe if our dog had a companion dog. And we tried to find a dog. We found a dog we really liked. And we brought our other dog in to socialize to see how they interacted with each other. And they didn't really take. And anytime we've had our dog with other dogs, it's always a hit or miss. It's like 50-50 shot. You might get along with them. You might not. For example, we have a big, large chain link fence in our backyard. And the neighbors on the one side have two dogs. And they love, you know, he'll go up and he'll, you know, sniff and the other dogs will sniff and they'll kind of like, I don't know, they might run back and forth a little bit. They'll play a little bit and they're friendly with each other. When I bring my dog up to my parents' house in Michigan, they have a dog and they'll just play and they'll have some fun. They're really good with each other. But for some reason, it's just like hit or miss. There's other dogs that, you know, if we're walking down the neighborhood, just doesn't like them. Or if there's another dog in a backyard or whatever, the dogs will bark at him and he'll get really nervous about it. It's just, it's hit or miss. So we decided we're a one dog type of family. It's probably for the best because our kid's a handful to begin with. I have a couple of text stories I want to get to. Some really good text stories. In fact, there's something coming to your cell phone, your mobile smartphone that you're going to want to get. Oh, I want to download it right now. I wish it was available. And a return of a popular phone from back in the day. Will the nostalgia factor make you want to get one? This is Overnight America, KMOX. Anyone that plays video games, I know we have a couple of video gamers that listen to this program that'll tweet at me as well. I know there's a lot of people that played retro video games. Well, at the time they were considered retro. Still, my favorite system is the Super Nintendo. I don't think there's a person better than me that has ever played NHL 95 on the Super Nintendo. I really think that if there was some world rankings, that not only would I be up there, there wouldn't be anyone close to me. I just played that game all the time. It was just all the time. So when you hear this theme, you may recognize the game instantly. You know, it's really amazing what they were able to do with their limitations on those cartridges for the Super Nintendo. But instantly, this song brings back the memories of one of the most popular games on that platform, Mario Kart! We had a philosophy, my buddy and I, Justin, we would play this game. Oh man, you do these like sleepover deals where, you know, on the weekends, you just basically have someone come over, you play video games, play games or whatever it is. You know, it was just fun, you know, then you stay up late, wake up, play some more games or whatever it is, then mom comes to pick you up. We used to play this Mario Kart all the time. We had this idea that there was a thing called a Ghost Luigi. So if you were taking too long on a course, let's say you're playing the Battle Zone course, Ghost Luigi would come in and get you with their green shell or something like that. When really, Ghost Luigi was just one of us, you know. But it was fun to give our own philosophies on the game or whatever. So Mario Kart is coming to a smartphone near you. Nintendo hasn't really released the full details or a release date yet, but they do think it'll happen this year. So Nintendo took to Twitter last February to tell fans that the game is in development and should be with us in 2019. So for the best, that means we're in 2019 now. It's hard to believe that game was first released in 1992. Oh my goodness. I had the game. I had the Super Nintendo. My parents got me the Mario Kart. Man, I played that like you wouldn't believe. My favorite character, I don't even remember his name. It's not Yoshi, but that might be the second favorite. It was like the Koopa Troopa guy. He had a name. I just don't remember what it is. But there was, you know, my friends would pick Mario or Luigi or Yoshi was popular every once in a while if you wanted to do Princess Peach. But that Koopa Trooper, man, it just, that was my thing. And I was all right at the game. It was just fun. Mario Kart 64, by the way, when the Super Nintendo, the console that came after it was the Nintendo 64. Mario 64 was the second best-selling game on that whole console. Only second to the regular Mario 64 game. A lot of times came with it. Almost 10 million copies. Amazing. 10 million copies. Man, I'd like to play that again. I thought it was pretty good. Here's another tech story. You know the Razr, the phone that really popularized being like a cool cell phone. So you had those Casio phones that were popular. My very first cell phone was the Nextel little beep phone where you had a little button on the side like it was a walkie-talkie. You'd go beep, beep. Oh, my buddies and I thought we were the coolest kids in the world. Beep, beep. You know, and it didn't take cell phone minutes. You'd just be able to do a quick little walkie-talkie, get something done, go back with it. You know, every once in a while, you can beep random numbers to see if the person would answer. You know, just for the fun of it. Not that we did that all that often, but that was the excitement level that you can, that was the peak excitement. Then the Razr came out. Oh, it's a super small phone that flipped open. Well, there's a picture of the new Razr that's out. Motorola's making a comeback. The once popular flip phone now being revived as a smartphone with a foldable screen. That is starting to really hit the consumer electronics shows, and people are showing how they can use this technology. There was one on display at the consumer electronics show I watched. It looks like a small tablet, kind of like a Kindle-sized tablet, except on the back end, you can kind of see where it's perforated so you can fold it back. So imagine you have a small tablet, and you're looking at the front of the screen. You would take the sides and fold it backwards. So the screen, you would basically have the curve of the screen on both sides. And you can flip it either way you'd want. Now, the technology is there. They had to find different ways to make a durable screen that was foldable and that didn't leave a lot of marks or, in fact, didn't actually leave crease marks on it. And it was very difficult, but it is possible. And a lot of companies have been developing these things because they feel like foldable screens is where it's going to be. So the price tag on this is extremely expensive. Before I tell you how much this thing's going to cost, I don't know. But Motorola is the company that makes it. They were really big in the cell phone business for a long time. Then they got outpaced by the iPhone when it came out. So Motorola's first release was the ultra-thin Razr V3 flip phone in 2004. After iPhone's 2007 came out, Razr and other best-selling devices started to fall by the wayside. iPhones started making prominence. You know, it had a touchscreen. It was kind of cool. Even though the original iPhone was thin, you know, it wasn't a flip phone. It was different, but it was revolutionary in the sense that they were able to put all of these things in one. They were to take their device like an iPad. What was those little ones? The little what are those called? The iPhone? Not the iPhones. The iTunes? No, what are the little iPod? Yeah, so you get the iPod in there and the phone, and you're able to put the games and all this stuff on there. So everyone went crazy for this, and the Razr went by the wayside. So Wall Street Journal has reported that the phone's price tag, this new Razr that's coming out that's foldable screen technology, is going to cost over $1,500, $1,500 for this thing. Yikes. Man, that's expensive. But people will buy it. A brand new iPhone costs that much, and people will buy it. I think people are getting burned out by the rising cost of the Apple product, that you're going to have something different out there to actually grab people's attention. Got one more tech story for you. Here's the tech story. Gizmodo reporting this one, and Wall Street Journal is the last one, but Gizmodo reporting this one. If you went to the Consumer Electronics Show, you see a lot of different technology and companies out there, and a lot of it is about security. You got to keep things secure. There's a hacker conference that goes on once a year. I think it's in Las Vegas. But your smartphone needs to be charged at some point. When you walk into a hacker conference, they tell you that just assume everyone's trying to hack everything you got. If you're on Wi-Fi, if you're on this, you're on that. Essentially, if you want to make sure your devices are safe, you have to leave them turned off and don't even bring them in to begin with. Because if you even have something on you, if you go back to your hotel room and you just use the Wi-Fi, just assume your computer's going to get hacked at some point. And a lot of times the people that are doing this, they're not doing it in a malicious way. They're not trying to steal your identity or anything like that. They just do it to prove that they can. That's what a hacker conference is for. So the NSA thought they'd do something funny. So they show up to this hacker conference and they say, cell phone charging station, you know you want to try it. Now, one of the easiest ways to get restricted information from someone is to directly plug into that device. And the easiest way you can do that is offer a charging station where you give them the cord to actually plug into their phone. Now, hackers are smart and they know you're not going to do something like this. But the fact that the NSA would put a sign up, hey, cell phone charging station, is hilarious to me. It also says a website on the bottom, intelligencecareers.gov/NSA. So, you know you want to try it. Maybe it's a way to recruit some of these hackers to turn honest, I guess. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of job opportunities in that world. All right, one more segment left. I got a couple of food stories for you. I did the tech stories. I did the food stories. This is awesome. If you've been shopping lately, do you like to buy novelty things off the shelf? Sometimes you go in and you think, well, I know exactly what I'm going to get, so I'm not even going to grab a cart. I'm just going to only hold the few things that I need. That way, if I bring a cart, I'm going to start throwing things in I don't need. So it'll help me resist the temptation. Then what happens? You basically have to hold the bottom of your shirt like a bag, and you just shove all the stuff in there, and you look like an idiot while you try to get to the registers. Well, I'm one of those people. So when I see novelty things like what I'm about to tell you about, I'm a sucker for it. You better believe I'm going to be grabbing a couple of them. We're going to talk some food next on Overnight America KMOX. Here we are for a little bit longer. We'll get to news at the top of the hour. And next hour, the 21st had some interesting things going on. We'll explain that, but I'm going to read one of the messages of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., being that it was his national day on Monday, which I think is a good message to share, which will come up in the next hour. We get to Tom over in Ohio. Hey, Tom, how you going? How you doing?
Okay, Ryan, how about yourself?
Good.
I'm doing better today than I was yesterday.
Why is that?
Well, because we had 14 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And I've got a large I can't really say large driveway, but a large, I've got a situation where I park two cars side by side, and then I have to have an area there for the mail truck to come in, because I'm the last house, and in order to turn around, he has to, you know, pull in and then pull out and then get put the mail in. And the end result is that I've got about 40 feet in the front of my house, off to the side and towards the front of my house, that I have to clear.
Okay.
And with all the snow we had piled up after the snowplow came through the first time, I ended up shoveling something like 1,800 cubic feet, I figured out.
You're calculating this.
Well, I amused myself because, you know, I'm out, it was 5 degrees. I started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I ended up 2 a.m. in the morning.
You know, and, are you calculating this real time while you're out there trying to think of things while you're just occupying your mind?
I was thinking of, because of the eclipse, you know, the, what was it?
Blood moon, yeah.
Well, super wolf blood moon, yeah. and I just get this earwig going through me, through my ear about, you know, a total eclipse of the sun. I'm thinking total eclipse of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going, and I really think those earwigs are a lack of oxygen to the brain. Because it seemed to happen that way for me. You know, that you're exercising or something, or you're concentrating on something else, and I really think that that's what happens. But anyway, I did want to let you know that, for example, this first couple are from papers, you know, how they have like those believe it or not type things, or strange but true, that in January 23rd, 1916, the temperature fell from 44 degrees Fahrenheit to a minus 56 degrees Fahrenheit. The nights of January 23rd, 24th in Browning, Montana. Now think about that. You know, you're going from 44 to plus to 56 minus.
I don't know how you can do that.
Well, I don't know how you can do it, but they evidently did it. Another one I came across here in the past couple of weeks, the heaviest rainfall in a 24-hour period ever to fall in the United States occurred in Elvin, Texas in 1979. A total of 43 inches of rain fell in one day. But in North America, the coldest temperature that we've had is a minus 81.4 degrees.
Fahrenheit? 81.
Yeah, minus 81.4.
Wow.
But, you know, I got to thinking, and I'm in an area where my relatives have been living here since 1826. And I just got to thinking, as I was shoveling last night, what it must have been like, you know, in the 1800s. You know, we complained about it, because it was a minus 5 degrees when I came in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where the temperature was most of the time I was out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 0 to minus 5. But, you know, we complain about it being, you know, cold, and yet we've got all the luxuries. I mean, think about, you know, going out and feeding the horses and feeding the cattle and getting the firewood and, you know, everything else that you need to do. And if you needed to get something, you're going in an open wagon. You're not going in a, you know, car that's heated. And
Little House on the Prairie style.
And I guess what I'm getting at is we don't have anything to bellyache about.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, the answer to your question about why it has to be so cold, it's because it's wintertime, and that's
that's as simple as that.
Part of the world that you're living in. If you want a warmer, move to Hawaii.
That makes sense.
You've got other problems.
All right, Tom.
That's the other thing is, you know, think about it. No matter where you go, there's going to be you're trading problems. One set of problems for another set of problems.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the fun facts.
Have a good evening.
Bye.
Take care, Ryan.
Yeah, Montana's a don't mess with Montana, man. I got to look up that one little detail from 40 above to 50 below, 48 hours or whatever that passed. Man, how'd you like to live in a place where that's possible? Sounds like some of the variances you see if you're living on Mars, depending on the night and day or depending on where you're at. You know, there's actually some really inhabitable places on Mars where you don't have to worry about these giant swings where you can get temperatures in the 50s and 60s or whatever. And then there's some just dastardly cold spots. Same thing with the moon. You get these giant swings on these planets that have very thin to no atmosphere. There's nothing that can helps control the temperatures. All right, I got a couple of minutes. I have a few food stories for you. Did you see what hit the shelves? It's called the Oreo Most Stuff. I'm looking at a picture of this thing. So how many Oreos can you hold in your hand? Like, let's say from your thumb to index finger, if you're just trying to hold it, you could probably fit a lot. I'm looking at a picture of a fully grown adult hand that can only hold, and this is stretching as far as it can go, 5 of these things in there. If I had to guess, they're about, I don't know, an inch and a half thick, these things. It's unbelievable. Who would enjoy something like that? I really don't know. It says after about 2 or 3 cookies, you're pretty much done for. Honestly, if you buy this sort of thing at a convenience store or at a grocery store or whatever it is, like you can put 5 of these things, stack them up. It's as tall as a glass of milk, just your regular standard things. Get them for about $3 a thing. They're limited edition. I've tried some, even the double stuffed, and that too much is stuffing. I get tapped out on that. One cookie is 110 calories, okay? 110 calories, which kind of surprised me. I thought it would be a lot higher than that. But man, you got to be crazy to enjoy a couple of these. All right, here's another food story for you. But you better believe I'm going to try one if it's put in front of me. 4 are on trial in Paris right now for a giant scandal that started in 2013. 4 people went to trial in Paris starting this week for the meat scandal that saw millions of meals withdrawn from supermarket shelves just 6 years ago. And millions of suspected food products from frozen lasagna and meatballs because there was a company that was selling horse meat and labeled it beef. Ew, gross. So if you're in Europe, odds are you probably ate some horse meat and didn't even know it. Maybe the scary thing is you had horse meat and you weren't disgusted by it. So there's about 28 different companies that this French company sold frozen horse meat to or horse meat to. And a lot of the horse meat came from Belgium, Romania, and Canada. Oh, our friends north of the border. I should message Drex about that. And so you guys harvesting horse meat now in Canada? Whoa. Apparently there were some other convictions that happened too, but they're now on trial. I wonder what's going to happen to them. How bad of a sentence for selling horse meat. One last food story for you. This is a good one. This is from Delish.com. The other one was from France24.com. Apparently, guys are so tired of buying flowers for their significant other, their wife or whatever, girlfriend, or someone you're just trying to impress or whatever it is. My wife always asks me, why don't you buy me flowers? I say, because they're expensive and they go bad in a week and you throw them away. Not worth the $40 or $50 or whatever it is to get a nice little display for you to put on the counter for a little bit. Yeah, I know. It's expensive and I don't like doing it. Well, there's a solution for that everyone could win. You can now, just in time for Valentine's Day in a few weeks, buy a beef jerky bouquet. Aw. Looking at a picture of this. So it's a glass, looks like a pint glass that says, say it with beef. And what it is beef jerky sticks. Now, the top of the beef jerky stick, they make it look like, the flower leaves. So you just basically, and like, here's one. To me, this looks awesome. And I don't know if there's a lot of women that would like this sort of thing, but you can get a half dozen beef jerky bouquet. It's $50. And I can tell you, you'll probably enjoy it much more than you would actually enjoy those flowers on there because you can eat these. Hopefully you don't eat the other flowers. If you want to get more than that, if you can get a full bouquet, it looks like a dozen for $53. So you might as well just spend the extra and get the full thing. The website is called manlymanco.com. Beef jerky flower bouquet. Gotta love that. Isn't that great? They realize there's an opening in the market for guys that hate to buy things for their significant other. So you know what you might as well do? You might as well just go and get something you can eat. Real quick, Kevin calling in from Wright City. What's going on?
Hey, do you ever go to Aldi's?
All the time.
Get your wife some $4 flowers and quit and make her happy because she's your wife. She puts up with you. She's worth it.
I know she's worth it, but that's like gas station flowers. They're just there's a certain taint to it.
No, they're not. They're nice. They're nice, and the gals love them.
Okay, Kevin. I might as well.
Good luck.
All right, thanks. Bye. You know, nice advice from Kevin. I think my wife could tell. It's Overnight America.